I know you like when we break down mock drafts on this podcast. Well, how about a two-for-one? Two mock drafts in one podcast, Dynasty League and regular standard scoring seasonal league. Dave, Jamie, hello. Good afternoon. What's up? What's going on?
You weren't sure whether it was good morning or good afternoon.
Just blend together. Well, it just turned 12, you know, so.
Do you even know what day it is?
It's Tuesday, right? Come on.
What's the date?
Wow. There's one thing I know that's Tuesday, May 17th.
Yeah, I saw you look at your laptop. I know that you had to cheat to get that answer.
It's kind of true. How you guys doing?
Great.
All right. Jamie.
How are you?
I'm good, Jamie. Thank you for texting me the other day when Brian Adams was on your radio. I appreciated that.
I tweeted it. I didn't text you.
Oh, you tweeted it. That's right. Everybody knows.
It was a text that he shared with the world.
Yes.
I have Hold On by Wilson Phillips stuck in my head. So, wish it were Brian Adams. Wish it were Brian Adams. But admit it, you guys like that song, right?
Do you know one person who doesn't? I have that song in my head.
But do you know one person who doesn't like Hold On by Wilson Phillips?
Hi, my name's Dave Richard.
No,
I don't like
liar.
The song Hold On.
Lie, complete lies. Balderdash.
Oh, wait, we're being funny stuff.
I did like it at the end of Bridesmaids.
Of course.
That was very entertaining.
Yeah, but now the problem is I feel like I can't have it played at my wedding because then it's just going to seem like I'm ripping off Bridesmaids.
Well,
is that your song?
You and every other woman.
Speaking of which, I must apologize. I think I'm losing my voice. I know I normally sound like a middle school boy. I feel like I kind of sound like a middle school girl right now.
I never thought you sounded like a middle school boy. Look, however.
My voice is kind of leaving me, but I'm going to let you guys do the talking. Let's get into the show. FantasyFootball@CBSI.com is the email address, FantasyFootball@CBSI.com. We'll start with the news and notes. We'll finish with some emails. In between, we'll look at the rookie-only mock draft that we did and the 12-team mock draft that we did, a different one than what we talked about previously.
The only critique in the rookie-only draft was made by? The pick was made by?
Me.
Adam Mazur.
Yeah, it was a very smart pick.
It was awful, awful, awful.
Is this the Drake pick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Awful. What are you doing?
I will explain what I'm doing, but let's talk about Sammy Watkins first, guys. Sammy Watkins broke his foot. This guy was the number 15 wide receiver in standard leagues, number 19 in PPR. Didn't catch a ton of passes, but over 17 yards per catch, and obviously came on strong. I'll tell you his targets. They were very low. I think he had the 35th most targets at the position. Still ended up as the number 15 receiver in standard leagues. What do you think about Watkins right now?
Well, I mean, first off, his season last year was really two halves. He went through the first – until week nine, he was awful. He missed three games with a calf injury, so that's part of the reason why his numbers were low. But he complained. I think we all remember it was going into the Dolphins game. He said, give me at least 10 targets. You made the move to go up and get me in the draft. Let's justify it. And in his final nine games, he had at least six targets, I believe, in eight of them. So they started to feed him the ball a little bit more. And if you project his numbers over the final nine games, or final eight games, excuse me, over the course of the season, he would have had, I think it was 1,600 yards, somewhere around 80 catches, 1,600 yards, and double-digit touchdowns. I have it. If you see My Name is Sammy Watkins anywhere on our site, I've written that 100 billion times. So his numbers, that's what everybody was buying into coming in this year, was that, okay, he proved that he's worth the price that the Bills paid for him and was starting to look like he had a quarterback in Tyrod Taylor. I mean, I think part of at least my hesitation with him going into last year, on top of the fact that he was coming off of hip surgery, was that it was most likely E.J. Manuel, and he was pretty awful with E.J. Manuel. So, I mean, this is awful. This is as bad as it can get, you know, for a guy having an injury. From the standpoint of, if you look at what Dez Bryant and Julian Edelman have gone through, they've had to have second surgeries. Mm-hmm. After having the first one and after coming back and playing through it. So that's my biggest fear with him, is that if this is something similar, which we don't know because there's no nobody's come out and said exactly what it is, if he has to have another procedure, that could keep him off the field for part of the regular season.
NFL Network says it's a small broken bone in his foot. And we don't know if that's really the truth. Usually the truth is a little worse than what's reported. I don't think it's a full-on Jones fracture, which is what Dez had last year.
Right.
It's what Julio had a couple years back.
Right.
Too.
Now, Julio missed, he got the injury in week five. Now, remember, he had a previous foot injury coming out of the combine. He missed the final 11 games of the season. And I was, you know, I wrote a column about Sammy Watkins on the site. So I was doing a lot of reading about this last night. Jones, in June of the following year, was still not practicing.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come back on the field until training camp. Again, different situation because he had a previous, foot injury. that he rebroke the screw. He had to have the screw. I don't remember all the details, but the screw broke in his foot, and then they had to go back and redo the surgery that he originally had. But to me, Dez and Edelman having to have, they both got hurt. They both missed. Dez missed 5 weeks last season. Edelman missed 7 weeks. Edelman came back in the playoffs. Dez was shut down for the final 2 weeks of the regular season last year. Obviously, they were terrible and out of it, so there was no reason to play him.
Right.
But in January, Dez had to have another procedure on his foot. And Edelman, as we know, I don't know if we talked about this last week or not, but Edelman had to go back in and have his foot redone again. And so that's my fear, is that he's going to try and rush back for training camp or week one, and he goes out and he plays, and, you know, my foot's not feeling right. He has to have another procedure, and maybe he's out for an extended period.
So do you even want this guy on your team?
At the right price, yes, which is probably round five is where I would gamble.
Oh, no, that's way too late. Look, I totally get what you're saying, but it's May. He's got plenty of time. This is not a situation where it happened in training camp and he really has to rush back to get ready for the season. Like, I feel like that's a bit of an overreaction.
Well, we'll see just how much of training camp he misses. If he misses all of training camp in the preseason,
I think
that's trouble.
If he's back running routes, look, I mean, I think we go back to last year. I was more adamant about Dez probably than the two of you. I'll still start him. I'll trade for him. That's usually my approach. My concern is that if it's something that requires something else, and again, you just don't know, I just want to see him on the field. You know, that's kind of the thing I was saying. And I think to Dave's question, you know, where would I take him? I'm not going to reach for him. So I'll let him fall to me. And we could go, when we get to the mock draft review, Adam, we could talk about, you know, just keep this in the back of your head. When we get to that round four, round five range, of some of the receivers that went off the board there, is he better or worse than those guys right now?
Yeah. Well, okay. Fine. That's a good idea. We will compare him. I thought it was interesting that for Watkins, though, 35th most targets, number 15 wide receiver in standard, shows you his talent. They threw the second fewest passes in the NFL last year. And you said, Jamie, you know, six or more targets in eight of those nine games. That's not really that much for
at least six.
Yeah. But still, I mean, that's a pretty low.
He didn't even have 100 targets.
Right. What I'm saying is he still didn't get elite receiver targets. If he ever gets that, then you could be looking at a true superstar here, in my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, you see where Dave and I, our rankings are locked right now. If anybody's looking at the site because of our magazine. So they're, you know, doing some publication stuff. So you can see where we have Watkins ranked prior to the news yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was top 10 for me. I don't know where he was for you, but he was
top 12.
He's in that range of a number one guy. He went in the second round of this mock draft, which I think is an appropriate range for him. End of right. round two, beginning of round three. And so, I mean, you know, I know, Adam, you got a little excited with me saying round five. It's not that far of a drop off from where he's going now. But it's still there has to be some lowering of his value, you know, whether it's middle of round three to the end to, you know, round four. He's not going to go much higher than that.
No, he's a round five pick. That's what you're going to wait. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. If that for me, I know for sure I'm not taking him in the first four rounds.
Okay.
I'll take a chance in round five knowing that I can still get good players.
But you're saying that now, obviously you'll change your opinion.
Of course, if things happen.
Yeah, this is good news. We don't have to make that decision now. We talked about slow auctions. We had that email about slow auctions in our last podcast, and I didn't know what it was. I'm not sure if you guys did or if you saw the follow-up emails about what a slow auction actually is, but that will come later in the show, because let's talk about the Dynasty Draft and the brilliant, brilliant pick of Kenyon Drake, sixth overall.
Only pick that's been criticized so far by all the emails and tweets I've gotten.
Honestly, people act like they know.
What just happened?
People act like they know so much.
What was that noise?
You don't know anything. They're rookies. We haven't even seen them touch the field. I took him six.
I feel like Adam just sat on a block of ice or something.
That's always.
All right, fine. Let's go through it six picks at a time. Most of this podcast will be dedicated to the seasonal draft, but here's your rookie only draft. Ezekiel Elliott.
What? He went first?
Yeah, exactly. There will not be much.
Yeah, the question is not who goes number one. It's who goes number two.
Josh Doctson, number two, wide receiver for Washington. In case you guys have forgotten, I'll refresh everybody's memory where these players ended up. Corey Coleman, number three, Cleveland receiver. Laquon Treadwell, Minnesota receiver, number four. Giants receiver Sterling Shepard, number five.
everything's going along smoothly right now until...
I was going to take Sterling Shepard, but then I took Kenyon Drake.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Kenyon Drake, then... All right. Kenyon Drake 6, we'll stop there. Tell me what is so bad about this pick.
I don't know how many 1,000-yard seasons Kenyon Drake is going to have with the Dolphins. I know you read one story in a newspaper.
I like Kenyon Drake before Before I even read that story about them splitting work.
No, he liked Kenyon Drake coming out of draft.
Okay, that's all good. So, and you got him. And maybe that's a rule that everybody in a dynasty league should follow, is that when you're up, and if there's a guy you really like and really believe in, who cares what we have to say? Take the guy you like. That's exactly what Adam did. I've got 14 names in between Kenyon Drake and my number 6 overall rookie. 14.
And for you, I assume Michael Thomas?
Oh, no. Kenneth Dixon is out of Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas should have been the pick 6. I understand the running backs going after that, but Tom.
Yeah. I'm a honk for Dixon. I think he's great. So that would be an example of me.
Sure.
I don't care what your rankings say or anybody else. That's who I would take.
Well, I guess I'll back up for a second. The consensus of all the dynasty rankings that I've seen, and I tend to agree with it, is that group of receivers are going to jockey for the number 2 overall rookie coming out of this class.
Mm-hmm. Who do you have as your number 2?
Doxon.
Okay. I have Treadwell.
Yeah. I think.
But Doxon's 4.
They're all good. They're all good.
They're all good.
No.
None of them are great.
None of them are great, but
right.
They're
exactly.
All, in my opinion, they
ding, ding,
are all
ding.
Leaps and bounds better than this running back class.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
You don't have to. I'm just telling my opinion.
Well, the top of the receivers are ahead of them. Like, numbers 2 through 5 in my rookie rankings are all receivers. It's the 4 that we're talking about.
Yeah.
I would put Thompson in that group.
Okay, so fine. Let me just say this. For me, at number 6, it was between Kenyon Drake and Michael Thomas. I don't have a team here, right? This is not you're drafting right. based on what you
sure.
already have.
Yep.
If I had running back depth, I would have taken Michael Thomas. I was just picking a running sure. back because it's a more scarce position. Why did I take Kenyon Drake over the other running backs? Look, you look at the situation in Baltimore. Sure, it could easily be Booker.
I'll take another 4th round running back next year, too.
Dixon, right. It could be Dixon. Why not? It could be Booker in Denver, but they have C.J. Anderson, who they just locked up. It could be Derrick Henry for Tennessee. I understand he was the 2nd running back off the board. He won the Heisman Trophy, but they just traded for DeMarco Murray. So I feel like there's a chance you don't get a true workload from Derrick Henry until his 3rd year. So I just look at what Jay Ajayi did. I'm not impressed by it. He had 2 good games, and then he was terrible after that. Very small sample, so you can't make any judgments, but I don't see a huge path of resistance for Kenyon Drake, and I think that he has a great opportunity to get involved right away for the Dolphins. That's all.
I think it's a very fair point. The one thing that I would caution you is, and you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just, you know, I've heard you say it multiple times. I think your perspective on Kenyon Drake in the 3rd round by comparison to Kenneth Dixon or somebody else who's gone in the 5th round of the NFL draft, because you keep saying this over and over again. He went in the 5th round.
Yeah.
That, you know, he's in Paul Perkins, I think, was
Paul
the guy.
Perkins
went in the 5th
right.
round.
Yeah.
That you're looking at that the Dolphins made that investment in him as if he's that elite of a talent.
It's not that. It's just that if they took him 2 rounds ahead of other guys, he's probably a better talent than those other guys.
Well, I'm sure they appreciated his skill set, especially his ability to catch passes out of the backfield, which is something that they don't want to lean on Ajayi for. And that's going to be his role as they start out. And could it expand? Sure, but he's going to have to prove that he can handle
right.
it.
I don't think Adam's theory is wrong. I just think that you're taking a little bit of a leap, especially as we've seen with some of these rookies. Like, the receivers tend to come along a little bit sooner, have to have the ability to more sustainability.
Yeah.
And the running backs, as we're continuing to find out, is just so volatile.
If you want to tell me that I should have taken Michael Thomas, I'm totally on board with that. But I don't think there's a clear-cut number 2 running back in a dynasty draft, unless you're willing to wait on Henry, I guess, after Elliott. That's just
Let me ask you this. Dave, you said you have how many players between?
14.
Yeah, I don't exactly remember where I have Drake ranked, but I wonder if you could have maybe got him in the 2nd round.
I didn't think there was a chance of that happening, but according to you guys, I guess so.
I don't know. I don't know. Because, you know, again, and just to let people behind the curtain, people had the ability to look at my rankings and Dave's rankings, and they, you know, for whatever, you know, decided to go off of whoever's. And there are
people. I don't
people,
think you would have made it.
There are people in this draft as well that are serious dynasty players. And so that they, you know, knew the players they were targeting, who they wanted, you know, to make their selections.
All right. Next six picks after Elliott, Doxson, Coleman, Treadwell, Shepard, Kenyon Drake, then it's Michael Thomas, Kenneth Dixon, Devontae Booker, Derrick Henry, CJ Proceis, Tyler Boyd. I forgot to say who these people were. Michael Thomas, Saints receiver, Kenneth Dixon, Ravens running back, Devontae Booker, Broncos running back, Derrick Henry, Titans running back, CJ Proceis, Seattle running back, and Tyler Boyd, wide receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals. Go ahead, guys.
I don't have many problems with that next group, and I think that's going to be close to a consensus. I'm surprised Will Fuller wasn't in there. I think there's going to be a guy who takes him in the late first round of every dynasty rookie draft. They're going to see that speed and, oh, he should be the number two receiver right away in Houston. He should be that guy. I've got him a notch ahead of Tyler Boyd for that reason. But Boyd's got potential, just as much potential to play as the number two receiver now for Cincinnati. It's just a matter of what his ceiling is compared to Fuller's. I think Fuller's got a little bit better of a ceiling. I think Fuller could put together maybe 1 or 2 thousand-yard seasons in the NFL. I don't know if Boyd ever gets there.
Yeah, I like Boyd better. I think, to me, Fuller's the epitome of like a one-trick pony. Just run, and he can do that very well. But he's got a quarterback that hasn't shown in small sample size an ability to throw the ball down the field very well.
Not yet,
so, no. No, yeah. And that could change. But I also see Boyd's playing time happening much sooner than Fuller's, just based on who's around him.
So in the first,
I mean, look at who's around Miller,
yeah,
or Fuller.
No, I don't disagree with that, but I just think the Bengals have Brandon LaFell and nothing, and you know the Texans. We don't know what Braxton Miller's going to bring to the table. Mm-hmm. We don't know what Jalen Strong's going to do coming off of a really nondescript rookie year.
He might get cut.
So I thought he's going to cut.
I'm just saying.
I mean, anybody can get cut after what he did this offseason, but I still see a situation of there's going to be guys in this, plus these Schwartz is still going to be there too. So there are guys there that are going to be part of that, whereas the Bengals are so desperate. Had I guess it must have been the Redskins trading up in front of them to get Doxson.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would have seen Doxson or Fuller fall to, because the Texans also picked in front of the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
Falling to Cincinnati, they would have been very happy with either one, which would have been, I think, a great situation for either guy too.
So the first round, first 12 picks had six running backs and six wide receivers. No quarterbacks, no tight ends off the board yet. Let's go to round two now. The next six
which
picks.
We agree with, by the way. You don't have any quarterbacks in your top 12, right? Mm-hmm. Right, neither do I.
Top 20.
Paul Perkins is 13th, running back for the Giants. Jordan Howard, Bears running back. Will Fuller, Texans receiver. Farrell Cooper, Rams receiver. Leonte Carew, Dolphins receiver, and another Mike Thomas and another Rams receiver here. I'll read them again. Paul Perkins and Jordan Howard, running backs for the Giants and Bears. Will Fuller, Farrell Cooper, Leonte Carew, Mike Thomas of the Rams, four straight wide receivers.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Thomas of the Rams is the best receiver in Los Angeles this year. He wasn't invited to the combine. Farrell Cooper is a good player, but he's a similar
slot
type
guy.
Of guy to Tavon Austin.
I disagree.
Okay. But he's going to be a guy that's going to get carries. He's going to be a guy that you're going to see some gadget plays, throw a couple passes. He's done that every year of his career at South Carolina. He's not that big. So Thomas is a guy who wasn't invited to the combine, but put up great numbers his last year at Southern Miss. And I think he's going to really surprise some people just based on how he plays in their offense. That is so desperate for receiving help.
Right. I think Thomas will get a good opportunity, but I think Cooper is going to get fast-tracked to the slot. And I think he's a much stronger version of Tavon Austin and certainly a more polished receiver. Like, you want to talk about one-trick ponies, Tavon Austin to me was exactly that when he came out. Tons of speed, not a lot of size. I don't know what they were thinking drafting him as early as they did.
Sure.
Cooper is going to be a much more productive fit for them. I've got Cooper in my top 15 in my dynasty rookie draft, so seeing him go, what is it, 16th overall? I think that's fine.
That's a fair spot for him. I'm not saying he shouldn't go ahead of Thomas. I think he should. But I think if you're looking for a sleeper in your dynasty drafts,
Thomas is a great
option.
What do you think Carew's upside is in Miami?
I think it's his second contract. I think he's got to prove that he had some issues at Rutgers. He's got to prove that he can be a good boy. But if they don't get the production that they like from Parker or Landry and they don't re-sign one of those guys, then Carew becomes an option. But I also think Carew has to just be okay being the third fiddle. And then when his next contract comes up, if he signs somewhere else or gets the opportunity in Miami. Because it's going to be hard because he's behind two young guys that are pretty good.
Adam, we're through the first 18 picks and maybe one of the best long-term picks in a rookie draft has yet to be taken.
Is it my pick? The next one?
I don't know. Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, Hunter Henry, tight end for San Diego. All right, well, you know what? We'll just read the rest of the second round. The third round you can find on the website, fantasynews.cbsports.com. Hunter Henry, tight end for the Chargers. DeAndre Washington, Oakland running back. Malcolm Mitchell, New England wide receiver. Braxton Miller, Houston wide receiver. And then you got your two quarterbacks coming off the board with picks 23 and 24, Paxton Lynch and Jared Goff. Carson Wentz would go a little bit later, about mid-round three. But yeah, we got Hunter Henry, then running back DeAndre Washington, then two receivers, Malcolm Mitchell and Braxton Miller, and Paxton Lynch and Jared Goff. And guys, give us your final thoughts on this, then we'll move to the other mock.
Well, Henry, I think it's pretty obvious why you like him. Eventually, he'll take over as the main tight end in San Diego, and he's got great receiving skills and good size. Should be next in line long-term for fantasy purposes to be a great tight end. And I like Braxton Miller's potential. I think taking him in late round two is a good time to get him. Great speed, good size. I like his quickness, and I think he might be more impactful for Houston this year than Will Fuller.
I think for his career.
Wow, for his whole career?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm ready to say that, but I do like Braxton Miller.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Players that get converted to other positions, I can't really think of that many who actually did it in college. Like, you know, Eric Crouch, he couldn't play quarterback, so we'll try him in a new position, whatever. But Miller actually did it for a year at wide receiver.
Right,
Tannehill.
Yeah,
oh, converted wide receiver, yeah. But I was thinking of converted quarterbacks from quarterback to another position. I feel like it doesn't usually work, but this is a different case. Antoine Randle L, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, Randle L was that guy. Michael Robinson had a nice career.
All right, cool. So let's get into the other draft, which was interesting. So this was a 12-team standard scoring league, similar to what we did a couple weeks ago. Jamie had the first pick. Dave had the fourth pick. I had the seventh pick. Are you guys... All right, how many elite players? Like, what's the last pick you want in the first round?
12.
Yeah, I'm good with any pick in the first round.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I see it slightly differently. I see a top seven that are, obviously, you know, fantasy football, like, not all seven are going to pan out. It's just the way it works. But I feel like they are no doubt about it in whatever order, in the way they went in this draft. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson, Odell Beckham, Rob Gronkowski, Julio Jones. Those are the guys that to me are like, yeah, no question, you're elite seven. And then no question marks around them, basically. You
sure.
Think there's anyone else?
No.
Hopkins
would be the next closest. But there's questions. You can make up some questions.
I mean, there's questions about everybody.
Hopkins.
Yeah. But they're just
sure.
In a different...
There's questions definitely about Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, and even Adrian Peterson. You could say there's questions about that.
No.
Not just because they're running backs, but
sure.
Because they each have circumstances that you might not like.
Sure.
Yeah, I get that. All right, so those were your top seven.
I'm still taking them early. Still awesome.
Exactly. David Johnson, 8.
Yeah, Johnson's another one that I would consider elite.
I would too. But right, there's questions.
I'm going to skip ahead to an email. It's from Mike from a town on the North Shore of Massachusetts.
I have no idea.
Yeah, me either. He says, can you please sell me on David Johnson? I watched him on tape, and he looks tremendous, but I'm afraid of overvaluing him and a sophomore slump. P.S. Don't listen to the haters. Your jokes and radio personality make for a great podcast. Thanks, dude.
It's funny that we're doing this based on one guy.
I know.
Maybe there's others out there who feel like we're...
Right, but the general consensus that we've gotten has been...
Yeah. Okay, so look, I think David Johnson is going to just get a ton of work in Arizona, and as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be productive. You're looking at a guy that's going to continue to get upwards of 20 touches a game. No one else is stealing those goal line carries, and that offense is going to score a lot. They're going to put him at the goal line quite a bit. Think about every time that Larry Fitzgerald or Michael Floyd get interfered with in the end zone, and it's first and goal from the one. I bet David Johnson's going to get the first crack every single time.
Yeah. What's different about
catches the ball?
What's different about David Johnson and Jeremy Hill? We had this conversation a little bit last week, but what makes him safe from the sophomore slump?
Well, I think, you know, you go back to Jeremy Hill and just if you look at just general numbers for running back, carries, yards, touchdowns. Take that middle thing out of the equation. The yards.
Mm-hmm.
You love the carries that he got. You love the touchdowns that he got.
You mean last year? Of course. Yeah, yeah.
He just didn't
produce. He had the exact same amount of carries from his rookie year.
He just didn't produce. And yeah,
I think 300 fewer yards.
I think that, you know, you just have to like circumstance and you have to like the way the player was. I think anybody coming off of what Jeremy Hill showed as a rookie and where you had to take him in the draft last year, which was the back end of round one, beginning of round two, you had to make that investment hoping that this was the beginning of something great. And it just didn't pan out. And so you could say sophomore slump. You could say maybe he wasn't dedicated to his craft coming off of his rookie year. I don't know.
I would disagree with that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, that whatever the circumstances were, they didn't block as well as they did the year before. It's hard to say because everything else about that offense was pretty, you know, what you would ask for. Great quarterback play, great receiver play.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to look at David Johnson the same regard and just kind of hope that, okay, the touches will be there for him. The opportunity will be there for him. Hopefully he delivers.
He catches passes too.
Yeah, Johnson definitely catches more passes than Hill, and that definitely helps his profile. I wonder if with Hill it was a combination of pressure after his rookie year and too much focus on holding onto the football, especially after he had some early season fumbles. Because they were making a big deal about that in training camp. And he was making a big deal about that. My goal is to not fumble this year. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to fumble, and then he fumbled like three times in the first 6 weeks. It was terrible.
Yeah, also, Arizona, as good as Cincinnati's offense was, they had the sixth most points per game. Arizona scored 4.4 more points per game, which is a lot. And so you like guys who are going to get involved in good offenses. So David Johnson was the eighth pick.
And he gets the opportunity. I mean, San Francisco's going to be a bad defense. The Rams are going to be a bad defense.
So they're not going to be as good as they were last year. They'll still be good. They won't be as good as they were last year. I don't think you call them bad.
Now
and who's closing out the games for them? It's not going to be Carson Palmer dropping back. They're going to hand off, and Johnson's going to get a lot of extra work.
I see you're not Carson Palmer dropping back, and I raise your Bruce Arians.
When it's 30-3 in the fourth quarter, Bruce Arians isn't going to do that. He'll sit Carson
Palmer. David Johnson
might
won't
sit
be on
Johnson
the field
too. Yeah, I don't know. If it's 30-3, you might be right.
I hope he learns from the Tyrann Mathieu thing. But Ezekiel Elliott was the ninth pick. DeAndre Hopkins, Dez Bryant, Jamal Charles. Elliott, Hopkins, Bryant, Charles, that's the end of your first round. Now, last week or 2 weeks ago when we had the Jordy Nelson discussion, you know, you could put Dez Bryant in that discussion as well. Yeah, his injury is a little scarier than Nelson's to me, but what about Dez at number 11 overall?
I'm fine with it. I think he's going to be great.
He makes me a little nervous because not only is Dez going to be an injury question mark with the foot. You just don't know where he's at, but Romo too. And Romo's got this great protection, right? We talk about his offensive line, best in the league. His collarbone keeps getting messed up. What's going to happen to Dez's numbers if it's Dak Prescott throwing him the football?
Don't know. Could be better.
It could be better, but I would say no.
Yeah, I mean, your points are certainly valid. I just think that, you know, you have to make the investment of Dez being who he is, who he was before the foot injury, the fact that he was able to come back, play through it again, had to have the second procedure. But by all accounts, the second procedure for him and for Edelman are minor. I like the fact that the Cowboys are tweaking him a little bit with what Jerry's kid said about that they didn't think he was in great shape, which has led to the injury.
Right.
So knowing the way that Dez kind of self-motivates, I think he's going to use that to kind of prove a point.
I hope so. Now, we could obviously say the same thing about any receiver if they lose their quarterback. You know, it sucks. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers certainly has gotten hurt. He has a collarbone issue of his own, but I think a lot of people feel a lot better about Rodgers' health than they do about Romo's health. And that's why people are...
Sure.
That's why I'm more willing to buy into Jordy. And I've seen it before with Jordy. And I'm banking on Jordy to play the exact same way. That's true. I haven't seen him since he got hurt.
Cool. Well, Jordy Nelson.
The one.
What's
Jordy?
That?
You haven't seen him for Jordy since he got hurt.
Right. So that's the one thing. Okay. Like I'm kind of assuming that Jordy's going to be the same. Now, if training camp comes around and, you know, there's reports saying Jordy looks good, but not as great, not as explosive, then of course you have to make a change.
Right.
All right. Jordy Nelson goes off the board two picks
later.
That was
my newspaper reporter voice there.
Very good, Dave. to the news desk.
Scoops for me.
To the news desk with Dave Richard. Let's look at round two. Devontae Freeman Jordy Nelson, AJ Green, Allen Robinson, Eddie Lacy, Lamar Miller, the first six picks of round two. To me, you get to the point in round two where you, where I start to feel a little nervous about some players, like kind of right.
Fantasy football.
Yeah, yeah. Even Devontae Freeman with the first pick of round two, I'd be a little nervous about.
If you're that nervous, you shouldn't play.
Well, just Freeman goes before Lacy and Miller. What do you think about that order?
Who is it again?
Freeman, then three wide receivers, then Eddie Lacy and Lamar Miller.
I like Miller the best of that group just based on his opportunity. But I certainly see why people would still like Devontae Freeman. You know, just going back and looking at his numbers from last year, it makes me very nervous about him. With, you know, what the caveat of Tevin Coleman could be. Lacy, I mean, look, you know what Eddie Lacy was prior to last season. He was a beast. And, you know, the fact that he's actually taken the words of his coach and made an effort, you know, you have to be encouraged by that, if not excited. And then, you know, I think you look at where Lamar Miller going to Houston and what Bill O'Brien's track record has been and the offense he's going to play in. The type of player that he was in Miami before making this move, I buy into that.
It is kind of interesting. We do a 12-team mock draft 1 week apart, two 12-team mock drafts 1 week apart, same format, same scoring, same positions, you know. And Alshon Jeffrey goes like a round earlier, and Lacy just keeps going earlier and earlier. But all right, so the second half of round two is Doug Martin. But before we go any further, where's Doug Martin in this Freeman, Lacy, Miller discussion? Dave?
He's right there. I think he's I think he's valid and should continue to be there. I just don't know if he's a mega yardage guy. I've got him behind him, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm fine with him going after Freeman, after Miller, after Lacy.
Is it just the career inconsistencies? Is it based on last year?
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. A little bit of Charles Sims taking some opportunities away from him.
Okay. So after Martin, who goes seventh overall in round two, we have Alshon, then LeSean McCoy, Sammy Watkins, Amari Cooper, and Mark Ingram. And let me read an email here from Kevin in Syracuse. Hello, Joseph, Daryl, and Jason. I don't know them. Who is more likely to bounce back into top 10 status, LeSean McCoy or Eddie Lacy?
Lacy for me. McCoy's got a lot of company.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about ranking McCoy as high as I have him ranked, especially now with Sammy. If he misses time.
I think that helps McCoy.
Why? Because you think he'll get more touches that way?
Yep. Rex will go into a shell.
Guys.
I guess.
Yeah. Run DMC. Joseph, Darryl, Jason. Yeah.
That's tricky.
I'm too young for that, but you guys should know that.
You're right. We should. I'm embarrassed. LeSean McCoy, when he did play, great average for fantasy purposes, did the job you wanted him to do, and put up plenty of good numbers, even though there were many points where he was sharing the ball, still finishes a top 20 guy, despite playing only 12 games. You look at how he finished before he got hurt, six straight weeks with double-digit fantasy points, and then in week 15 got banged up. That was it. Bye-bye.
You have to wonder if the workload's starting to catch up to him. I know he hasn't hit the red flags you usually point out, but you know, he's had a lot of years of being a featured guy. And, you know, not only Carlos Williams and how explosive he was last year, you figure that's, I mean, I would anticipate somewhere in the neighborhood 8 to 10 touches for him a week. And then now they drafted Jonathan Williams, who could also maybe just take a touch or two. I mean, you're still drafting McCoy to be a starter. I'm in another analyst league where I took McCoy. I made it a point, I think it was round 6 or 7, to take Carlos Williams.
I drafted McCoy in this league. I couldn't get him.
Just to get Carlos Williams. I think, you know, if I have the opportunity to decide between the two, I would rather wait and get Carlos Williams. That's just the way I view it. McCoy makes me nervous to take him in round two.
So Jamie had the first overall pick, which means he had the last pick of round two, at which point he drafted Mark Ingram. His first of about 18 Saints that he has on this 15-man roster. Now, Ingram is your number one running back. You took Ingram and then Cooks back to back, so you went right. Saints there. Later, you would take Fleener and Breeze, which is funny. But before we get to that, like, Ingram is tough because, man, when he's on the field, he's good. But 13 games, 2 years, last 3 years, 11 games, 13 games, 12 games. So how do you balance that out, the production versus the injury risk, when you take him as your number one receiver and the only running back you take for a while? I mean, number one running back, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think the one thing I want to find out for sure is, does Tim Hightower have that number two role? Because that would make me more comfortable taking him in the round two range. Just to know that I have the guy. I didn't take Hightower in this draft, but it would make sense that Hightower, bringing him back, letting Kyrie Robinson go. You know, CJ Spiller is who he is. I'm curious what they're going to do with Daniel Lasco, who they drafted, but they drafted late. So if Hightower is in the number two spot, then it makes it easier, because you saw how great they were. You combined the two of them.
They were awesome.
They were amazing. And the fact that Ingram, you know, with Spiller's failures, was able to catch 50 passes, you know, shows you that he can do it all and doesn't have to come off the field. So I think he definitely is worth consideration in that spot, you know, back into round two, beginning round three, and can easily be a number one guy if you don't take a running back in the first round, which is what I would advocate.
And Jamie has Drew Brees, Mark Ingram, Brandon Cooks, Kobe Fleener. How do you feel about that? You didn't take the Saints defense, though. I'll give you credit for that.
No.
How do you feel about four Saints in your starting lineup?
I love it. I wouldn't recommend doing this for most teams. It really just fell this way. And I really wasn't planning it. Dave actually pointed out to me after I took Fleener. He's like, why don't you just take Breeze? He's right there. Now, again, Breeze is not going to fall as late as he does in our drafts, in most drafts. He'll probably be gone in the first five rounds. But, you know, going back on it, I may have gone with, let's say, T.Y. Hilton or Mike Evans over Cooks. I know Evans was there. I don't know if Hilton was, but... one of those two guys over Cooks, just knowing if I was going to take Ingram. Fleener was definitely, the guy I was targeting in round six, because I think he's going to be awesome. But if you look at what their stats were last year, I mean, you're talking about the number six quarterback in standard leagues in Breeze, top 15 running back in Ingram, top 15 receiver in Cooks. And again, I think Fleener's going to be, at worst, Ben Watson, who was number seven tight end last year. So you're talking about guys that all finished as starting options and pairing them with Antonio Brown, and then, you know, my two running backs that I have in that mix in the first seven picks of Matt Jones and Jay Ajayi. And I think those two guys have the opportunity. One of the two will finish, I think, hopefully, as a top 20 running back.
How many times last year did three or more Saints players get you double digits in fantasy points, not including Breeze? Throw Breeze out.
Okay, but that would only leave me with three other guys, right?
One.
No. Three other players on the Saints.
Right. So put Watson and Fleener spot then.
I'll say one time, Dave.
Well, no, how many times did it happen where multiple Saints skill position players had double digits in fantasy?
Multiple
points?
Or three?
Hmm?
Multiple or three?
Positions? Three or more.
I'll say one time.
Oh, maybe zero.
Seven.
Whoa.
Seven times.
That's good.
They're all at home.
It might have been. But there are some games where, I mean, just the fantasy points were flying.
Yeah, one was a stupid guess, I guess. Let's go to round. So here's what we'll do. We'll do the first four rounds, and we'll save the rest for next week, and we'll read some emails soon. But let's pay special attention to Dave's pick here, because Dave is going to go his first three picks. He had the fourth overall pick. He took Adrian Peterson, then LeSean McCoy. He's going to go his first three picks without taking a wide receiver. We'll see how that works out for him. So here's round three. First pick, six picks of round three, Brandon Cooks to Jamie, Mike Evans, Keenan Allen, little receiver run. Maybe Dave was going to take one of those guys, but he took Aaron Rodgers with the next pick. Then Latavius Murray to Demaryius Thomas. Those are your first six picks of round three. So talk about Aaron Rodgers to go with your two running backs, Dave. Were you going to take a wide receiver if Cooks, Evans, or Allen fell to you, and what do you think?
Definitely if Cooks or Evans were there, and the debate was between Hilton, T.Y. Hilton, and Aaron Rodgers. And I just decided to see what would happen if I took it. It's a mock. Let's see what happens if I take Aaron Rodgers in round three. And granted, I know this. Every time I take a quarterback early in a mock, in a real draft, I know I'm going to be jealous of some of the quarterback values that happen later in the draft.
Sure.
To the point where I get like mad. What was I thinking about doing it? And then I realize, well, if Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, I've got a top two fantasy quarterback and a guy that's going to put up better fantasy points than pretty much every other quarterback, including the quarterback that, you know, went in round seven that I was, you know, green with envy over. So I think Rodgers has a big bounce back year. Love his schedule. Love the offense around him. Glad that Jordy Nelson's back. And I really like what the Packers are doing. They're, you know, kind of pruning that offense a little bit and making small improvements instead of like big overall sweeping changes. And I think Aaron Rodgers comes back and is the best fantasy quarterback this year.
Okay. So again, it's Cooks, Evans, Allen, Rodgers, Latavius Murray, and Demaryius Thomas. I'll just say that both Murray and Thomas feel a little risky there, but I don't know. I couldn't take Latavius Murray there. We still had Thomas Rawls on the board, CJ Anderson, Ryan Matthews. What did you think about Latavius Murray? I guess that would be, what, 29th overall?
I'm perfectly fine with it.
It's the range for him now, you know, with the fact that they didn't add anybody of significance. You know, say what you will about DeAndre Washington. He'll have a role, but that offensive line, you know, could be the second best offensive line in the NFL behind the Cowboys, and maybe the best if things work out for them. So there's just a lot of talent there. There's a good quarterback in place. There's a defense that's not going to get blasted like they have been in the past. So they'll be in manageable games where they should be able to lean on their running game a little bit more. It's what Jack Del Rio wants. So, I mean, I think Murray is able to build off what he did last year, which was good, not great. He certainly fell apart in the second half of the season. But, I mean, if you're talking about a floor of 1,000 yards and around 7 touchdowns with somewhat of an ability to catch the ball, I think there's going to be a nice season for Murray ahead.
T.Y. Hilton is the next pick, 7th pick of round 3.
Cam That's a steal.
Yeah, that was my pick. I was very happy about that.
Yeah.
Cam Newton, Thomas Rawls, Brandon Marshall, Ryan Matthews, and Kelvin Benjamin. What do you guys think?
Matthews in round 3 scares me. To me, that's a pick made by somebody who just is more focused on getting a running back than getting a good player. Because, first of all, CJ Anderson was still on the board. I would have taken him ahead of Ryan Matthews. There were a couple of receivers I would have taken ahead of Ryan Matthews.
I think it was Marone, and I think he went receiver. So.
No, he went with his first 2 picks, you mean?
Yeah, he Marone did. Went he got Dez and Jordy Dez with Jordy. His first 2 picks, and then he went with Ryan Matthews as his third running back.
Right, he could have got
his first running back.
He could have got Ryan Matthews beginning round 4.
Right, he got CJ Anderson in round 4.
Right,
and so if you flip flop him,
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I think you feel a lot better about it.
Yeah,
that's a good team.
That is a good team. So let's read that again. So that's the 11th overall pick, Dez and Jordy. So well, at least he doesn't have any injury prone players on his team. Dez, Jordy, CJ Anderson, and Ryan Matthews.
Right, but again, you know, where we are in May, I think, you know, on paper, I would sign up for that.
Yeah, it's not bad. But it does beg a question. Like, I don't really, do you guys consider Jordy Nelson an injury risk?
No, I don't consider either one, to be honest with you, because it's the first time that they've gotten hurt.
You mean Dez and Jordy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but what you just said about Sammy Watkins' foot, doesn't that kind of mean Dez is
No, he had the second procedure. I mean, you know, he's through what these other guys have been through before.
Okay.
You know, Julio had 2 foot surgeries. Dez has now had 2. Julian has 2.
Okay. That works for me.
Julian Edelman.
let's go to round 4 then. Randall Cobb.
And again, I'll say, I don't know. I mean, who knows with these foot injuries if they could come back, but
yeah.
I would say that just in terms of Jordy with the ACL and Dez with the foot problems. You know, is there a risk of both happening again, or have they done their major injury already in their NFL career?
Now, Dave, I think 2 weeks ago you took Randall Cobb with the first pick of the 5th round. Here he goes with the first pick of the 4th round in a standard scoring league, followed by C.J. Anderson, Jordan Reed, second tight end off the board, Andrew Luck, Julian Edelman, and Carlos Hyde. Those are your first 6 picks, again, of round 4. Randall Cobb, C.J. Anderson, Jordan Reed, Andrew Luck, Julian Edelman, Carlos Hyde. Dave, what do you think about Randall Cobb, first pick of round 4?
I think it's a great pick. I think Randall Cobb certainly bounces back the same way that everybody else in Green Bay should bounce back. He's not a number one receiver. He's a slot guy, and when the coverage isn't focused on him, he should be able to get away with all sorts of good stuff on underneath routes and use as a running back out of the backfield, and then who knows how else they'll use him. But I certainly think volume is going to be in play with Cobb, and that's why fantasy owners should go right back to him as a really good second starting fantasy receiver.
And Adam, again, just to clarify, we did this draft before the Edelman news as well, so I don't know if Edelman would have gone at this point in round 4.
And
you would have slipped a little bit, you think?
Yeah.
I understand position scarcity, but there's not a planet in the world in which I'm taking, or in the universe, galaxy, that I'm taking Jordan Reed over Andrew Luck, which is what happened here. Reed went 1 pick ahead of Andrew Luck.
Sure.
That's somebody trying to, it was Will Brinson who took Jordan Reed. he recognizes that quarterback depth is great, and he's going to try and get who he thinks is the second best tight end.
Now, Will and I talked about this while he was doing the draft. I believe his third round pick was...
It was Brandon Marshall.
That's Adam's guess.
He went three receivers in a row.
He went A.J. Green in round two. So Hopkins, A.J. Green, Brandon Marshall, Jordan Reed.
Right. So he said he was going to go zero RB. Yeah. He told me that he was going to try it just to see what it looked like. And so I don't know what the rest of his team looked like because I don't remember. But I do remember at this point I was like, oh, I kind of like what you're doing. And I, to be honest with you, I actually considered it as well. And if I wasn't drafting with the rest of the people in our office and how I know how everybody drafts and takes running backs, you know, like their air when we're running out of oxygen, I probably would have gone Antonio Brown, Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, one of those two guys with my first three picks.
Okay, but here's the thing about this draft. It was weird. The running back value in this draft was like none I've ever seen before when we get together and do mock drafts.
Yeah, it's because I think people realize how important it is to get these elite-level receivers and then just kind of backfill your running back spots and hope you hit on something. You know, well, you're going to get guys that fall, and it's going to be great value. You know, when you see Carlos Hyde in round four, when you see C.J. Anderson in round four, when, you know, Ryan Matthews should be in round four. You know, I was actually pleasantly surprised to have the opportunity to take both Jay Ajayi and, Matt Jones with Jeremy Langford still on the board.
Right. And that's the thing. So it goes past round four. I mean, like round six, you're getting good running back. I think Melvin Gordon and Amir Abdullah, they were like round six picks.
I'm sorry. Did you say good running backs or any running backs?
But it's still good value. It's still
that's great value.
A starting running back, you know, in round six. Chris Ivory, round six. Let's see.
It's kind of where they're going to go. I mean,
well, that's what I want to know. Is that going to be the case? They felt more like round five guys to me.
For us, it's where they're going to go. For most leagues, you probably see them fall into round seven, round eight in some cases, like Abdullah and Ivory. And I mean, you know, in this other draft that I'm in, Ivory was still there, I think, in round 10. It's half point PPR. Yeldon went ahead of him.
Adam, I think this is a good point to hold and freeze everything and just run down those list of running backs that win in round six.
No, not yet, Dave. That's going to be our topic for next show.
Because, listen, if you don't like any of those guys, if you heard Melvin Gordon and Amir Abdullah's name and you got kind of sick in your stomach, then I think you know that you should try and go running back a little earlier in your draft.
Yeah, I want to get it.
Like, that's how you set up your strategy a little bit.
Yeah, but I would disagree. I think you're looking at these guys the way I would draft, which is getting three relatively high-end receivers, certainly one hopefully top six or seven guy, two top 12 guys, and then three hopefully top 15, 18 guys. I have no problem if this is my, you know, then just start taking, you know, running backs.
If this is your second running back, you have no problem?
Yeah, I did it in the magazine draft where I got Melvin Gordon, my second guy, and I'm thrilled with it. And if I get him as my third guy, I'd be even more ecstatic about it.
I'd be okay with him as the third guy. The second guy, I'd be a little...
Yeah, but it's, again, well, in the context of the rest of my team, which the rest of my team is awesome.
This is what I want to talk about next week, because I think just looking at the strategy, if people are reacting so harshly from the horrible year that we got from running backs in 2015, are they reacting too harshly? Is the running back value all of a sudden becoming really, really good in these rounds? Let's talk about that next week. Let's finish up today's show, though. Just finish round four, and then we'll read some emails.
Well, no, when you get to the end of round four, read the receivers, and let's see where Watkins stacks up, though.
Okay. So the last six picks of round four are DeMarco Murray, who went in round five in... Oh, yeah, he went right around. He went like six or seven picks later 2 weeks ago. DeMarco Murray to Heath, of course. Jeremy Hill, Michael Floyd to Dave, Matt Forte, Golden Tate, and Matt Jones to Jamie. Golden Tate was like an eighth round pick a couple weeks ago, whatever. That was
Jones was the guy I wanted right there. And Chris Towers even said to me, he goes, I was looking at your rankings, and he said, I know I'm not going to get him back on the swing. So if I don't take him now, I'm not going to get him. And I was so mad.
Tate or Jones?
Tate.
Oh, Tate. All right. So the wide, what do you want to look at, Jamie?
If you want to read the receivers who went in round four, if you want to read the receivers in round five, I can understand if you want to wait on that, but just to see where Sammy Watkins stacks up to these guys. Like Michael Floyd, I know Dave took him. I would still probably take Sammy Watkins over Michael Floyd at this point. But you know, this is, I think, kind of the spot he's going to land.
The receivers in round four were Randall Cobb, Julian Edelman before the injury news, Michael Floyd, and Golden Tate. What do you think about Watkins among those four?
I would probably rank it Cobb, Tate, Watkins, Edelman, Floyd.
I know that I'm putting Edelman ahead of Watkins. And then I think I'm going to do a reshuffle at the back end of my number two receivers. Cause I've got Macklin up there now. There's no way. I even took Floyd over Macklin in the draft. But he's in that mix for me of Floyd, Baldwin, Brown, Tate. He's in that group for me. He's a low end number two receiver.
Okay. So some emails to finish our fun. Oh, slow draft. The slow auction. So did you guys have a chance to look at this?
Yeah.
No.
Do you want to explain it, Dave? I can give it a shot.
It's an auction. Go ahead, Adam. I mean, I can try it and you can tell me where I'm mistaken.
No, because, all right. So basically, you got a 12-team league and you nominate, everybody nominates two players typically. And these players are up for auction for like 24 hours. It's eBay style. I've never done anything on eBay. And then
ever?
No, I never have. So everybody's bidding basically on like 24 players at a time. You can see the current high bid. You get notified if you're outbid, much like eBay. I'm taking this from some notes from people who told me on Twitter, people who told me in email. Dave, I don't know if you can find the email that laid it out more specifically. But a slow auction. Okay, I'll look it up. But basically, basically that's what happens. So everybody nominates like two players. You're bidding on 24 guys at a time, and it's sort of like an eBay style where you get notified when there's a higher bid, and you have to, I don't know. Does that make any sense? And it takes a few weeks, I think.
I think it's a blind bidding process where a player's up, you've got 24 hours to put in a bid form, and whoever bids the most gets them.
No, because I think you're notified when you're outbid, so you can keep going.
The way I would envision it is, okay, Andrew Luck for $10. And then you have a time period if anybody wants to put in 11.
Yeah.
And then if anybody wants to go 12. And you just know, and then if the time runs out, let's say it's today at 3 o'clock, whatever the last bid is by 3 o'clock, whoever gets them, gets them.
Why can't I find these emails? All right. Well, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go read the rest of these. You guys will answer them, and I'll search for the better explanation. This is from Michael. Dear Jules, Ordell, and Marquise. The only Jules I know is Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
But I
is that
like...
Sam Jackson characters?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think you might be right about that. Samuel L. Jackson, good job. I need to share this story with you. I'm getting married in 5 days on May 21st.
Oh, my dad's birthday.
Okay, that's now 4 days.
Happy wedding and happy birthday.
Yesterday I got my wedding haircut from my stylist. Every time I leave there, she makes my hair look better than I ever can, so I decided to ask her how much product she uses in my hair. She simply responded with, "A little dabble, do ya?" And I lost it and nearly fell out of my chair with laughter.
Now that's a long time listener.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you, Michael. This one is from Jason Hartman in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Dear Cliff, Norm, and Woody. Cheers.
Everybody knows your name.
Have any of you guys ever seen a fantasy team run the table a la the 72 Dolphins? I'm going into my 27th year of fantasy football. I've never seen it done. Have you?
No.
I know of one person who did it and then quit playing fantasy football forever. And I've come close. No, my dad was a catastrophe in fantasy football. I've come close. I've had a couple of one loss and two loss seasons.
That I've had. Never.
Never an undefeated year.
Okay. You ready for the explanation on the slow draft? This is from
the
slow auction. Slow auction. This is from Aaron.
The email that will never die.
The way a slow auction works is that players are bid on. And once there has been no additional bids on a player for a predetermined amount of time, that player is won. So in my draft last year, if nobody outbid you in 18 hours, you won the player. It was done by proxy bidding a la eBay. So you put in your bid, and others' bids don't reset the clock unless you're outbid. The entire slow auction for a 20-man roster ended up taking about 2 weeks to complete, as there were 10 players available for bidding at any given time. Okay.
I kind of like the multiple players up for bid at the same time deal.
Because what if you end up getting all of them? Then you're like, oh, crap.
I'm broke. Unsubscribe, please.
Last email here from Thomas from New England. Boy, am I losing my voice. This must be.
You want me to read it? So you can go get your little lemon tea.
Go ahead and read it. I gotta take a glass of water here.
All right.
Man, Allie's a lucky girl. You're not gonna be able to talk.
Dear Drew, Michael, Antonio, and maybe Dez.
All
definitely.
Cowboys number 88s.
Yes. All Cowboys receivers and definitely guys. So Antonio Bryant wore 88 for them.
I don't know. That's just what Thomas put in the email. All Cowboy number 88s.
I know Adam hates keeper questions, but I really need help deciding two amongst the following. It's a 12-team PPR with two quarterbacks, three wide receivers, and a flex. So it's deep. Tom Brady first, Nuke Hopkins first, Sammy Watkins fourth, Carson Palmer sixth, Lamar Miller eighth, Mark Ingram 10th. Needs two.
The two running backs. At the end.
Yeah, I think you get great value for them. And then you'll go receiver in round one and then just kind of settle in with quarterbacks. What are you going to say?
No, I'm just saying it's a three receiver PPR league. Does that change anything for you?
No, my first three picks, if not four, would be receivers now.
Yeah.
All right, I hope you get good ones. You know the good ones are going to be kept. Most of them.
Well, I mean, what could he do? So he should keep Hopkins in the first round?
Well, I'll tell you what, I would have said Watkins before the injury.
I would have too.
Yeah. So no. Mm. You're right. Running backs.
And you've got two running backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. Should provide lots of consistency for your fantasy team.
All right. So let's say he's on the conservative side because of his league and wants to, I got to get a stud receiver. So he wants Hopkins in round one.
Okay.
Who are you taking?
Miller.
Miller in eight as opposed to Ingram in 10?
Correct.
I'll go Ingram in 10. He's definitely catch the ball. Miller is still, I've seen Ingram go 50. Miller last year was his best going for 40.
Guys, I think we're done here. Dave,
okay.
End the show.
Go take care of your little voice, Adam.
end the show, Dave.
Get some chicken noodle soup. And be sure to whisper. You can whisper.
Can you please do the goodbyes?
What do you mean the goodbyes?
Just end the show for me.
Bye.
Everybody listening, thank you for doing so. We really enjoyed you spending time.
What the heck? Stop doing that on the headset.
Jamie, I'm trying to give a heartfelt farewell. Now you're blowing into the microphone. Now forget it. Goodbye. Get out of here. See ya. Bye.